Welcome to another City Gate Atlanta teaching. As an apostolic training and equipping center, it's our desire to empower you to fulfill your God-given destiny with tools like this teaching. For more information about City Gate Atlanta and our resources, go to citygateatlanta.org.
Let's give the Lord Jesus a big old hand. Can we do that? He is worthy. Hallelujah. He is worthy. I want to just say a big shout out to my beautiful bride. She sent me a picture of her watching today, and she's sitting in the easy chair, got the television on, and so mahal kita sentako, and hallelujah. See, I'm distracted now. I don't even know what to do. I don't like traveling without her, but she had an assignment this week as well. She was teaching at a women's conference in Nashville, and I just heard so many good reports from that as well. So divide and conquer. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today for your word, that it is alive. And Lord, it's moving, Father, not only just in us, but also through us. And Father, today we activate your word. And we declare today that your word that we've received over this weekend, it will not fall on stony ground or thorny ground, but God, it falls in very fertile ground in our lives. Lord, I thank you today that the seed of this word, the seed of your kingdom, though it starts out small, it grows to be the largest tree in the garden. And today, Father, we're declaring over the state of Georgia and over this nation as people are watching around the nation and around the world that your kingdom is coming and your will is being done in a measure that we have not yet seen nor comprehended. So, Father, today we just say heavens open and kingdom come to begin to cause your glory to sit in this nation like never before, in Jesus' mighty name. Can you say amen? I'm very excited today to be here. I'm just so thankful. I mean, anytime I get to come to City Gate Atlanta and be with Jackie and eat one of Mike's steaks, which is, he's the best grill man in the planet. Hallelujah. And anytime he wants to cook, I'm willing to eat. And it's just awesome. I feel like I'm with family. Do you ever feel like that? Somebody, I saw heads. No, I don't think I feel that way here. Well, you will before we get done. We've been talking this weekend about the kingdom of God. And I want to just kind of continue today along that line. Because the lens by which you filter the word of God through, it determines your worldview. Everybody say worldview. Worldview is very important. How you see the world, how you relate to the world, how you are relating to the things that are going on around you. Many Christians in Western Christianity, if I could just say it that way, we have been told to disengage from the world. We've been told to come out from among them and be you separate. Well, Greg, in that scripture, it's scripture, but wrong context. We've been told to hibernate like bears in our buildings waiting on Jesus to come back. But Jesus said, you're in the world, but not of the world. Come on. If he said you're in the world and not of the world, that means you've got power over the things that are in the world. Jesus' prayer, actually I call it the Lord's Prayer. It's not Matthew 6. That's the disciples' prayer. I like it that way. You say, why are you changing it up? I don't know. I just like to do that. But I find Jesus' prayer in John 17. When Jesus was communicating with the Father there, he said to him, he said, don't take them out of the world. Those are red letters. Amen. He said, don't take them out of the world. He said, but keep them from the evil one. Oh, wow. You know, that's a positioning like no other. You've been given a place in the world, and you had a request by the Master of the Father to keep you from the evil one. Glory to God. That's like having an open field for a running back with nobody to try to tackle him and pull him down. Amen? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Western religion has told us to come out, to separate, to huddle in our buildings, to wait on a rapture to get us out of this old, rotten, wretched world. But Jesus said, I want you to engage the world. I want you to get in the world. I want you to be around people that make you uncomfortable. Jesus had this remarkable group of people. And you think, well, that's his disciples who became apostles. No, it was called the Friend of Sinners Club. Come on, smile at me on Sunday morning. Jesus was known as a friend of sinners. Are you known as friend of sinners? If you are known as a friend of sinners, that means you got to be around sinners. Man, it's quiet in here, Jackie. Did my mic go off? Jesus hung around folks that religion says was wrong. If we're just hanging around people like us, we'll become ingrown. We'll become focused on things Jesus never told us to focus on. Jesus designed you to be very comfortable around sinners. Why? Because you were one. Amen. You know their next move. You know what they're getting ready to do. You know what they're getting ready to say. It shouldn't shock you whenever they curse really good. Amen. Why? Well, Greg, shouldn't that? That's blasphemy. No, they're not cursing you. Sometimes non-believers are better non-believers than believers are at being believers. Not in Georgia, Tennessee maybe. Hallelujah. But we've got to come to a place that we're comfortable around sinners. And we're comfortable around sin. Why? Because you were built to help people escape those things that are binding them. When we lived in Hawaii, I had my Friend of Sinners Club, and I would go down and drink coffee with a bunch of bikers, ex-Marines. Well, they informed me that you're never an ex-Marine. They're just looking for their next activation. But they couldn't move very fast if they were activated. Some old coaches that sat around at a coffee shop smoking cigars, drinking beer. I had coffee, drinking whiskey, and cussing in such ways that would make a sailor blush. And they knew who I was. And I would just sit there and listen to them. And it would dawn on them all of a sudden, oh no, there's a preacher here. And it was almost like clockwork. They would turn and say, preacher, we're sorry. We're so sorry. Man, we're sorry. We shouldn't be cussing like this. And I said, you didn't cuss me. I'm good. And it boggled their minds that I would come there several days a week just to sit with them and be around them and let what I carry. They didn't know that's what it was, but let what I carry just kind of begin to penetrate the atmosphere and the environment that was there so that they could have a little room for freedom and have a God consciousness. I wasn't there to change them. I was there to drink good coffee and watch darkness squirm. That was entertainment to me. Hallelujah. And it got to the point that over the weeks and the months that I would always come there and even show up when many of them wasn't there, and they would start calling me when they had problems. They would, when I'd go get on my motorcycle and get ready to ride back to the house, they would, one of them would come or another one would come and say, hey, preacher, I don't even think they knew my name till a long time. They just called me preacher. Hey, preacher, would you pray about this for me? And I'd pray for them right on the spot. I didn't tell them, well, we'll put it on our prayer list at church. No, I prayed with them right on the spot. Why? Because I knew that if they were bold enough to pull away from their friends to talk to the preacher in private, they knew on the porch what was going on, so I might as well deal with it right there. Amen. And let God start working miracles. We saw several of those guys born again. We saw one, he moved on our campus, and we helped him get a job, and he started coming to church. And we saw when the young people were, you know, raising money to do things, they were the first ones to give. They would drive by. They sold Krispy Kremes. I think Krispy Kremes ought to be gifts, not sold. But they would do that. The kids would do that to raise money for things, and they would come by on their motorcycles and buy up all their donuts and make donations. Why? Because somebody cared to sit with them and not judge them for being good at who they are. Now, religion gets messed up with that. Religion says you can't be around those people, or a Pharisee would rebuke them for their language. They talk better their dialect than we do our dialect sometimes. Come on, smile at me. Why is this so important? Why am I saying this? Because your worldview determines how you engage the world. And if you're somebody that sees yourself better than sinners, which you once were, then your worldview is wrong. It's only by God's grace you are who you are. It's only by His grace and His mercy that you're sitting in here today, restored and saved, walking in purpose and destiny. Amen? It's by His grace that your marriage is strong or getting stronger, and your children are making their way back into the kingdom of God. And when you're working someone else's field, God's working yours. When you're serving someone else's children, God's going to serve your kids. It's a kingdom principle. When you're focused on heaven, and Jesus never focused on heaven, He focused on earth. You know the story. Matthew chapter 6 in verse 10, He said, when you pray, pray, kingdom come, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God is bringing us into a place to where religion is leaving our lives in a faster pace than it ever has before. Come on, smile at me. Remember, through this weekend, if you were not here this weekend, you need to go watch the videos, because we really gave religion a hard time. Jesus never came to make you religious. He never came to give you a religion. He never came to cause you to jump through hoops and live by rites, R-I-T-E-S. Rituals were not in His mind when He came to die and He rose from the dead. It was on His mind to get heaven back into the earth. Matthew 6 and verse 33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. Well, you cannot do that through a religious filter. You must have a kingdom filter. I talked about this weekend that Jesus only had one message, and that message was the kingdom of God. I challenge you to find anywhere that Jesus preached anything but the kingdom. He didn't preach on deliverance. He didn't preach on healing. He didn't preach on finances. He didn't preach on prosperity. He didn't preach on salvation. He preached the kingdom. And all of this other stuff just happened out of His message of the kingdom. People would walk through the crowd and touch Him, and issues of blood that they had for years would begin to dry up. Lepers would come to Him and say, would you heal me? And He'd touch them, and they would be healed. He would send them back to show that they'd show themselves to the priest. Go and obey the law that you're under at the moment so that you can be reintroduced to society. He needed money to pay his taxes. He didn't have a chicken fry. He didn't do that. He said, Peter, get a line, go out there. I could just see Peter getting a cane pole. And going out there to the water, and he said, drop your hook in, and the first fish that you catch, look in his mouth, there's a gold coin. Pull it out, pay your taxes, pay my taxes, we'll be good. I want to know not so much how that happened. I want to know the bait he used. I'm going fishing. Many times, Jesus stepped off the boat onto the land, and a demon-possessed man ran and fell at his feet. Jesus cast the devils out of him. Jesus did not have seminars on all of these things. I'm not saying those things are not good for us today. We must learn those things so that we can be effective in our kingdom walk. But Jesus' message was the kingdom of God. This word first in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 is the word pro in the Greek. And it means first, surprisingly. It means chief, before, best, first of all, first of importance, first thing, first of the most, and it means first time. So everything that you do must be wrapped up in seeking the kingdom of God. Now again, people define that differently. Let's look at it the way we taught in Kingdom University. Is when we're reading the scripture, we ask these four questions, remember? Who is talking? Who are they talking to? Very important. What does it mean in their culture? And then how do I take that and apply it to my life? So Jesus was speaking to these men here that were walking with him, and he was telling them the Gentiles, the pagans, the non-covenant people, they're searching for what they can, or their life is driven by what they're going to eat, by what they're going to wear, by the house that they're going to live in. But Jesus said, if you'll seek my kingdom first and my righteousness, I'll make sure you have all of those things. Everything that you need for your assignment, I'll make sure you have that. Isn't that pretty amazing? That lifts the pressure off of you. What do? You seek his kingdom. What is a kingdom? The word kingdom is made up of two words, the word king and the word dominion. So we're seeking the king's dominion. The king's dominion is everywhere the king has authority. So instead of running after money, run after the king. Amen. He knows where more fish are with more coins in their mouth than you do. Amen. He knows where everything in your assignment is laying. And he wants to bring that to you. The world is not looking for religious people. The reason we have a few empty seats in here today is because a lot of people in this region, especially the younger generation, when they hear the word church, they think religion. And they remember Sunday school. They remember sitting through boring messages, unlike today, praise the Lord, ready to go to sleep or ready to go eat somewhere, ready to get out. Why? Because they were involved in a form of godliness that had no power. It looked good, it sounded good, but it did no good. It kept people jumping through hoops, hoping that God would do something for them. Let me tell you something today. The God that's in the Bible is still the God of today. Hebrews says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is still a healer. He is still a deliverer. He is still one who meets every need in your life financially. He is the one that can put your family back together and bring your children home. But he doesn't do it out of religious activity. Family, he does it because he is king and Lord over everything in this earth. Man, these songs today were good. You got me stirred up, brother. This church that God's raising up is not another religious institution. It's a force of the kingdom in the earth. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is this. A kingdom is the sovereign rulership and governing influence of a king over his territory or his domain, impacting it with his will, his intent, and purpose. Producing a community of citizens expressing a culture reflecting the nature and the lifestyle of the king. Whew. I'm going to read that one more time. Is that all right? It is a kingdom is a sovereign rulership and governing influence of a king, not a religion, over his territory, his dominion, impacting it with his will, his intent, and his purpose. Producing a community of citizens expressing a culture reflecting the nature and the lifestyle of the king. It's all about him. The culture comes out of him. The lifestyle comes out of him. His nature is what creates that culture and that lifestyle for us. We're not bringing our ideas into this. We're not bringing our skewed theology and ideology into this. We're not bringing our eschatology, that needs to be really dealt with, into this thing. We are stepping into this thing naked, and we are being embraced by the nature and the culture and the lifestyle of our king, which produces reformation and transformation on the inside of us that calls us to be new people. I just see today that religion is on life support in the state of Georgia, and somebody needs to pull the plug. Well, Greg, why be so abrasive? Why be so blunt? Why bring things right out and just be in the face? Because somebody needs to start talking about this. Somebody needs to start saying that worldview is important. Somebody needs to start saying that your responsibility to government is important. Somebody needs to start talking about when you vote, don't vote for an elephant or an ass, vote for a lion. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to begin to say things like, you don't put people in office because of the color of their skin. You don't put them there because of their denomination or where they were raised, or we need a woman there or a man there or trans whatever in the God's name there. We live by the force of the kingdom of God. The king is at the forefront, not your ideas, not our comfort. We've got to stop preaching about our comfort. Jesus said to those that wanted to follow him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Anybody want to come with me? We watered this thing down, and we've created a worldview that this is about me and it's about you. It's not. It's about the king. The scripture says that all things are summed up in him. Everything was created by him and created for him. You don't need another message on seven ways to be a better you. God don't want you to be a better you. He wants you to be a dead you. He's been trying to kill you since you got saved, but you've been fighting him. I know it's not that way here, but somebody watching the video is going to be blessed with this today. It's going to help them. God's looking for a people who are not afraid of darkness, but understand that whenever they step into darkness, the light that they are begins to cause darkness to flee, and that light begins to set a new standard, a new culture, and a new worldview. God's looking for folks that are not buying the lie of separation of church and state. Whenever our forefathers created that, and they were not talking about that the church should not be involved in government, but that the government should have no word or say in the church, and there should be no state church. God's changing things. He's moving people in their spirit and challenging them to stand up and run for office. Some of you need to be on your school boards. Some of y'all need to be councilmen and aldermen. Some of you need to be mayors and senators and representatives on a state level and a federal level. Some of y'all need to run for governor. Come on. We preached this for years. One Sunday we were preaching this in Hawaii, and the Lord said, put your money where your mouth is. When you hear that, you know things are not going to go very well. There's a challenge that is coming that's getting ready to challenge you at your core. And then the next words out of his mouth to my ear was, I want your wife to run for state house. And I said, thank you, Lord, it wasn't me. It's Joanne. And she did. She ran twice. She won twice. We know for a fact, but she was cheated twice. We have the proof of it. I mean, it's there. And these are things that we're facing. And people say, well, you shouldn't, you know, well, just don't run again. You can't fix the system. If enough of us get in the system will be fixed. It won't just be fixed. It will be revolutionized. It will be reformed. It will be brought into a place that it will begin to look like the kingdom. God needs kingdom-minded people in D.C. There's enough of the other-minded folks there, too. He needs kingdom-minded people in Georgia standing up together. I believe today that this worship that you're getting ready to do around the state of Georgia is going to be something that begins to shake darkness at its very core and calls darkness to want to set up residence in another state because it's not to its advantage to be here any longer. This Pharisaical spirit that we've lived in, and we've all had some of it in our life, we've got to get rid of it. What is religion? Religion is defined as the adherence to a set of beliefs that regulate moral, social, and ritualistic behavior of an individual. Now, there's a couple of things wrong with that definition. The ritualistic part is not what Jesus came to set you free into. He came to set us free from these ritualistic things that keep him at a distance but give you some type of false hope that because of your actions and what you're doing on a consistent basis, he's pleased with you. Rituals do not create relationship. Religion is also about the individual mostly, but kingdom is about the corporate piece. Apostle Jack has written a great book on the corporate armor about how the church flows and walks together corporately. The Jewish nation, the Hebrews, they had 12 tribes, but they saw themselves as one nation. We are 50 states. We're supposed to be one nation. God is looking for people that will begin to be as concerned, if not more concerned, about the relationship we have with him corporately than just our own individual relationship. Does that make sense today? We give invitations for people to come to the altar and give their life to the Lord. We need to start giving invitations for cities to come to an altar and change its ways and give its life to the Lord. God loves cities. God loves nations. God loves people groups that do things together that have a worldview of kingdom. Religion preoccupies man until he finds the kingdom. Many religions, Hinduism, Islam, the Hare Krishnas, the Christians. Now that stings a little bit because we were raised to talk that we were okay. But we have to look a little deeper at where we are living. Are we living the word or are we living denominational doctrines? Are we living out of the things that men have created to keep the church corralled and in a place of behaving? Or are we living out of the words that Jesus preached? Religion is what man does until he finds the kingdom. We're good at doing religion, folks. We can do it with our eyes closed. Some places you can show up on Sunday morning, you don't even need a bulletin anymore. Y'all remember bulletins? Yeah, it had the songs in it. It had the announcements in it. It had the flow of the service. Some of them even had the time that everything was going to happen in it. And if you got over that time, you got interrupted. Because our time was more important than the move of God. God's getting ready to divinely interrupt our services. He's going to begin to heal people when the altar calls hadn't been given. He's going to begin to cause demons to scream out of people in very inappropriate religious times. He's going to begin to cause things to start manifesting that you and I are going to have to start to deal with. Family, I'm telling you today, we are at the threshold of the greatest shift that we could ever imagine in the earth concerning coming out of religion and into the kingdom of God. Religion prepares man to leave earth. The kingdom empowers man to dominate earth. Let me say that one more time. Religion prepares man to leave earth. The kingdom empowers man to dominate earth. People have said, Greg, you're preaching dominion theology. I'm like, I'm just saying what he said. I try to stay in the red letters. I mean, I get in the other ones too. I like that. But man, I love the Gospels. And people say, you know, well, the dominion theology, that's not scriptural. That's what religion wants you to believe. What happened to greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world? What happened to that? Religion says, sit down, take your beat, and he'll snatch you out later. No. He's not an absentee dad. He's not a God on vacation like the Baal was. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. Come on, somebody. He causes us to have authority to trample on the heads of serpents and scorpions and all the powers of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm us. This is the God I'm talking about today. I'm not talking about the one that hangs on the wall in a picture with a rosary in his hand. And I'm not talking about that. But I'm not talking about the one that we just read about in Sunday school stories. I'm talking about the one that got on the inside of you whenever you gave your life to him and said, let the journey begin. Let's get into your purpose and into your assignment to be cultural changers and kingdom expanders. Religion focuses on heaven. Kingdom focuses on earth. Here's a good sign if you are in a Pharisaical atmosphere. Everything's about heaven. Well, let's get everybody saved so they can get to heaven. Well, what about let's get everybody in the kingdom so we can change our city? Amen. So we can change our nation. Heaven's good. Yeah, well, you get born again, you get to go to heaven. But I don't want to go today, nor do you. Amen. If we were loading up today saying, let's everybody go, most folks would say, I don't know if I really want to go today. Is this the end of everything? No, it's not the end. You just get to leave today. We don't want to do that. If we're very honest. Why? Because we have something within us that screams at us that our assignment is here in the earth. And there are things that we were created to do. There were things that God put in us, a bending that he brought in us whenever we were in our mother's womb. Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way he is bent, and when he is old, he'll walk it out. Hallelujah. There's a bending in you. You are not designed for heaven. You are designed for the earth. Religion is reaching up to God. The kingdom of God is coming down to earth. Religion wants to escape the earth. The kingdom wants to impact, influence, and change the earth. Hallelujah. Religion seeks to take earth to heaven, but the kingdom seeks to bring heaven into the earth. Maybe this is why Jesus addressed the religious leaders so strongly in his day. Our problem is not with the world. Selah. Amen. Our problem is not with the lost. It's with the religious. And I said this weekend that all of us are in some detox stage of religion. And just let it, just keep on detoxing. Amen. Get it all out of you. You don't need it in you. You need kingdom in you. Our problem that we're going to face even in the future, the near future, in a very strong, forceful way, is not going to be because kingdom people are trying to witness to people, but it's going to be because kingdom people are trying to change the religious mode of operation that are within our cities and within our nation. And when we start dealing with the things or the ways that we have pharisaically led the church and led our cities, then that religious spirit is going to become very upset and is going to want to stop you. Jesus had no trouble with Pilate, a government man. He went back and said, I can't find any fault with this man. His wife said, you better leave him alone. Let him alone. Put him back out. Don't do this thing that they're asking you to do. It was the Sanhedrin that had trouble with Jesus because he was upsetting their apple cart. He was destroying their rule, and he was pulling down their religious structure that had kept Israel in bondage. Jesus spoke harshly to them. Now, I'm not saying we have to speak harshly. We have to move in a kingdom way. Matthew chapter 23, 13 to 15. Jesus said, but woe to you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. Whoa, that can't be talking about religious people. Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer you them that are entering in to go. Woe to you scribes, you Pharisees and hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses for a penance, make long prayers. Therefore you shall receive a greater damnation. Verse 15, woe to you scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you compass the sea and the land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you have made him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Religious people Jesus is talking to. Man, that'll hit you right between the eyes and swell them both up. He's speaking to the religious influencers of his day. And he was saying, you will go all around the world to find one disciple, and when you're done with him, he's twofold the child of hell than you are. That same principle applies to religion today. The form of godliness that has no power to it. We are bringing people into those models and into those molds, and when we're done with them, they're twice the child of hell than they were before they came. They've just put on a different suit. Their hearts have not changed. They're living in the mystical world of religion that throws hope way out in the future and says power has been compartmentalized and that dispensationalism has moved Jesus out of the miracle working place and left apostles and prophets 2,000 years ago. But family, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he worked miracles then, he'll work miracles now. If there were apostles back then, they're apostles now. So being a part of a religion or religious system does not grant you citizenship in the kingdom of God. Matthew 15, 1 to 3. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do your disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. They might have been rednecks. But he answered them and he said, why do you also transgress the commandments of God by your traditions? They came to Jesus and they said, look, your boys aren't keeping the traditions of the elders. They don't wash their hands before they eat. And Jesus turned to them and said, why aren't your traditions transgressing the word of God, causing the word of God not to work? What are the traditions that are in our lives that are more cultural than kingdom? Anything in our life that in our cultures, and there we have many cultures represented in this room today, that is contrary to the kingdom of God, to that culture, we've got to change it, family. We've got to change it. And we've got to do it now because we have an assignment on our life. Let me move on. Let me hurry up. Oh, Lord, the beans are going to burn. It's not in what you do, works and or law keeping, that makes you a part of the kingdom. Matthew 15:6. Thus have you made the commandments of God of none effect by your traditions. And acts of religion will hinder the kingdom of God from manifesting in your life. Matthew 5:20. For I say to you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus didn't say this about the heathen. He didn't say this, that your righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the Gentiles, the pagans. He didn't do that. He said your righteousness must exceed the righteousness of your greatest religious leaders of your day. If not, then there is no way, no how, you're coming into the kingdom. We still have that same thing that we're facing today, even in the state of Georgia. Glory. Matthew 21:31, Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. What? Wait a minute. You said that the publicans and the harlots, that's biblical language. Tax collectors and whores get into the kingdom of God before religious people. Smile at me now just for a minute. Don't growl when you show your teeth. I know this is for folks on TV. Y'all are just being a good audience for me. Do you get this? It's not how religious you look or talk or act or the religious hoops that you jump through or the ritualistic things that you have done all of your life. Jesus said that the publicans and the harlots will get into the kingdom of God before anyone who does those things. Seems very clear from the words of Jesus that religion is one of the greatest obstacles to seeing the kingdom of God. Maybe this should cause us to take another look at the power of religion that has been over our lives, over our culture, and over our society. Family, religion is a stronghold in our nation. It's a stronghold in Georgia. But a kingdom people can break its hold. Amen. Everything that Jesus did, everything that he said, his prayers, his teaching, healing, miracles, was focused on kingdom and not religion. Jesus was so preoccupied with the kingdom. It was his top priority. It was his heavenly mandate. Matthew 6:9-10, again, after this manner pray, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 3:2, and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 4:17, from this time Jesus began to preach and he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 5:17, do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Matthew 10:7, it says, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 12:28, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Here's a few more. Mark 4:11, he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. Mark 9:1, just hang on, write them down. I'm gonna give you a few more. Mark 9:1, and he said unto them, verily I say unto you, that there are some of them that are standing here which shall not taste death till they have seen the kingdom of God come in power. So the kingdom of God is not something that's coming in the future. Jesus said it was there in his day, and if it was there in his day, it's here in our day. Luke 4:43, he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for this is why I was sent. Mark 9:11, And the people, when they knew it, followed him and received him and spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. Luke chapter 9 and verse 60, it says, Jesus said unto them, let the dead bury the dead, but go and preach the kingdom of God. Nothing has he said about religion. Nothing has he said about him bringing a religion or souping up an old religion or modifying a religion. It's the kingdom that he's bringing. Luke chapter 22 and verse 29, and just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I grant you that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging. Whoa, that don't sound like religion. That sounds like governmental business transacting on the earth. Luke 10, 9, heal the sick that are therein and say, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. Not a religion, the kingdom of God. I could give you many, many, many more. 1 Corinthians 4 and 20 says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but it is in power. One more, 1 Corinthians 15 and 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit corruption. You cannot come like Nicodemus at night and try to get what Jesus was offering and going back to the religious model during the day. That means that every facet of your life has to shift out of religious traditions into the kingdom of God. That when people see you, and people say, I've had them ask me, and here's my answer. They say, Greg, are you a religious man? I say, God, I hope not. I don't want to be a religious man. I want to be a kingdom man. I want to be somebody who represents the crown, who carries with him as an ambassador the power of the crown. Hallelujah. See, Jesus never referred to you as a Christian. Let me just leave this right here, and I'm going to hit the door. Jesus never referred to you as a Christian. You're referred to as a Christian twice in the Scriptures. And in those days, in that culture, it was derogatory. Very derogatory. It was not something that was given to flatter you. They're little Christ. Well, you're not a little Christ. He said, great works have I done, but greater shall you do because I go to the Father. You're not a lesser than. You are the same as, according to Jesus' own words. Now, you'll never be a savior. You'll never do that. But the power and the anointing that he took back from the enemy and gave back to his people, his church, his sons and his daughters, are to do the same things that he did, but greater. Hallelujah. But our pharisaical mindsets and worldviews has called us to live with lesser expectations and to live with a mindset of everything has to be known, it has to be mapped out, everything has to be the letter, it has to be the law. And Jesus said, I come to mess a lot of that stuff up. I'd make a declaration over you today that you are shifting out of religion into the depths of your kingdom assignment. I decree over you today that the taste of religion is going to be bitter in your mouth from now on, and that the taste of the kingdom will begin to resonate. It'll be what you crave, what you desire. You will taste and see that the Lord is good, that your eyes will begin to see through a different filter, not a religious filter any longer, not a filter of lack and a filter of destruction and a filter that would cause you to live in struggle and defeat. But you'll begin to see through kingdom lenses. From the power of a victorious, risen Christ, you will begin to see your life. And you'll begin to walk out that life through the power of his resurrection, and you will begin to help others come into who God has called them to be, because you're stepping into who God has called you to be in the power of your true identity in Jesus' name. You are forgetting those things that are behind you, and you are pressing on towards the mark
of the prize of the high calling that is in Christ Jesus. You are learning how to agree with your adversary quickly. When he brings up your past, you say, yes, I was, but now I am this. I am no longer that, I am this. You will not live out of the shame of your past, but you will live out of the empowerment of the resurrection of Jesus that is putting you in Kairos moments to cause darkness to flee and the kingdom to advance. I decree over you today that you're not going to live shy. You're not going to live timid. You're not going to live behind the shadows of other people, but you are stepping into who God has called you to be in a different way, and you're seeing the word come alive in you. You're seeing the anointing being stirred in you. You're going to begin to hear yourself speak, and you're going to say, where did that come from? I've never heard myself say that before. You're stepping out of an old dimension into a new dimension. You're stepping out of an old religious pattern into the kingdom pattern that Jesus has brought for his ecclesia. I release that into you, and we declare it stirring up and flowing out of you in Jesus' name. Can you give the Lord a hand clap of praise today?
Thank you for listening to the City Gate Atlanta teaching. We hope you were encouraged, exhorted, and equipped. For more information about City Gate Atlanta, our resources, or upcoming conferences and events, go to citygateatlanta.org.